Go with me in your Bible, and I am glad we still have a Bible that's inspired and infallible, inerrant, but most of all preserved. Thank God for that. I'm going to go to Luke, if you would, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. And I'm going to spend a little while here this morning. I probably won't be long, but I want to look at verses 11 through 19, I believe. Yes, 11 through 19. And we're celebrating Thanksgiving this week. And I'm going to pour my heart out about Thanksgiving and how we ought to be the most thankful, gracious people in all the world. I want to preach this paragraph, and I'll hope I do no harm to it, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, and this is the message today, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, this is amazing, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." What a great passage. I'll start off slow, and I'll guarantee you I'm going to hit overdrive quick. Okay. The older I get, and don't say amen, but I am getting older. A lot of what I think was shaped by the way I was raised. As I navigate through life, Chad, and we are navigating, I get perturbed. Any of y'all ever get perturbed? Because see, I was raised, even though my dad was a bartender and my mother, she was a great Christian, my dad had a lot of respect in the community, even though his business wasn't the best. But he taught me something. Have you ever been drove into a parking building and you know how them things wind up, and me, I go through like a race car. And somebody walks out in front of you, or getting ready to walk out in front of me, and I stop my car. Well, I want you to know something. If I'm going to stop my car and not run over them, they ought to say thank you. And if I go out to a place and I have my wife and maybe my children with me, and I hold the door open, and then I let about 10 people go through also, I would think those tax-paying citizens would say thank you. Say amen there. Or if I get into an elevator And I rush in. Then in the corner of my eye, I see somebody coming behind me. And I get in there and I hit the button, one leg on the door, making sure it don't close. You would think that have enough courtesy to say thank you. And if I'm going up I-64 near Cross Lanes, and I'm driving up through there, and there's three lanes of traffic, and some knothead, knucklehead, who's over in the passing lane, decides he's going off at Cross Lanes, and he had his blinker on over in three lanes over, and I let him through and pass me, you'd think I'd get a thank you. You'd think if I went to a restaurant and bought somebody a meal, y'all getting the point? Got somebody a meal and, you know, blessed them. And I've done that before. You'd think they'd come by my table and say, thank you. Are y'all with me? I was taught when I was a boy, when we got handed the mashed potatoes and the fried chicken, that I told my mama, thank you. I think we're living in one of the most unthankful generations that we've ever been raised around. And this passage of scripture, I'm going somewhere. I know I'm slow, but y'all stay with me because it's going to get good in a minute. Jesus was big on thank yous. And he got a little bit perturbed in this passage about nine that got healed or got cleansed. And only one came back and gave glory to God and said, thank you. Somebody help me preach. I think I feel a little bit coming on me. We need to teach our children that. Amen. On November the 21st, 2022, I want to ask the same question Jesus says. Where is all the people who God's blessed their marriage, blessed them with money, blessed them with shelter, blessed them with his goodness, blessed them with long life, gave them all that they ever had? Where are the nine?
Amen. You're right. Amen. You're preaching.
I can't tell you where they are or where. But I can't tell you where they're not. They ought to be in church giving God the glory. They ought to be on a Sunday night wanting to give a testimony. They ought to be faithful on Wednesday. Somebody help me preach today. We need to be thankful for what God done. He pulled us out of hell. He blessed our families. Some of us didn't have a job, and he gave us a job. Some of us didn't have enough sense to get through college, and he helped us through. Somebody help me. I think I'm going somewhere. You know what? It's shameful that a purpose of our service is not equal with the proportion of God's supply. We've taken a whole lot more than we give. We've been blessed with so much more than we give back. So can I take you through the story? I know I've spent some time. I'm trying to build the thought. So I'll take you through the story. First of all, and I want you to notice in verse 11 and 12, and I'm just going down the verses. That's how I preach anymore. Dale's here this morning, and if I preached any other way, he'd fire me. He taught me how to preach. And it came to pass as he went through Jerusalem that he passed. I like that. He passed through the midst of Samaria. And then in verse 12, it said he entered into a certain village. First of all, I want you to notice in your passage about this story, the authentic presence of Jesus. He was heading to be crucified. He was heading to be beaten and smitten and mocked and ridiculed, yet he passed by. Somebody ought to raise your hand and say, I thank God for the day he passed by my life. And he went and he entered. First of all, I see a divine character. He was different than anybody else that ever passed through there. He wasn't just a mere man. He was the Son of God. That ought to make some of you happy. That a God like him would pass by something that's filthy and ugly as we are. He had a determined choice, a certain village. Aren't you glad that God and the Son of God knows exactly where and what is needed? And he made a choice. I want you to know something. He had a determined choice when he came by this old boy. If I was him, I wouldn't have passed by. If I was him, I wouldn't have acknowledged me. If I was him, I wouldn't have time of day for me. But I'm glad that God Almighty, the divine character, came into that city. Then I seen is this all right? A detailed cognizance of Christ. He knew who was there. And he knew they needed him. Aren't you glad that one day when you was lost, he knew where you were? One day when you was on your way to hell, he knew where you are. And then what? How many's glad this morning that he still knows where we are at? How many's glad when we're in our depression, when we're in our trouble, when we're in our heartache? Thank God that he's cognizant of us. He's thinking about us. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a faith healer. He came himself a man. Somebody ought to help me preach. You remember where you are when you was in your most desperate, terrible need in your life, and God came where you was and said, I love you. You're in a mess, but I'll do a miracle in your mess. Let me hurry. Y'all might hold me to that 10 minutes. Secondly, just teaching the Bible, I see an ailing predicament. When he entered into that village in verse 12, there he met 10 men that were lepers. They had an incurable disease. Leprosy in that time could not be healed unless it was healed supernaturally. And by the way, leprosy is a picture of sin. And we were in God's eyes lepers, spotted, corrupted. Somebody help me. We were incurable. Yet, he was mindful of us. And I want you to notice the imperative distance. They stood afar off. By the way, they were required to stay afar off. They were put outside the city. By the way, one day, we were without hope and without God in this world. And those that were afar off were brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all all with me? And by the way, they all congregated together because that's what sinners do. They congregate together. Because, see, they weren't allowed to be around folks that were clean. They were outcasts. Is somebody getting this? Are y'all getting this? Then I seen an intense desperation in verse 13. Y'all looking at it? They said this, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, if you got a big problem this morning, you know what you need to do? You need to come out and cry out for mercy. And if you're here lost and undone on your way to hell, you know what you need to do? You need to find this altar in the morning, this morning, and say, Lord, have mercy. Amen. I tell you why we don't get where we need to with God, because we're not desperate enough. I see it in our churches, a lack of desperation. We need God more than we've ever needed before. We need His presence, His power. Y'all all with me? Then let me hasten. A lot of preaching here, isn't there? Are y'all think, how many agree I'm going down the Bible? Look at verse 14. I like this. They had an ailing predicament. But I tell you what he had, Chad. He had able power. Look at 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. First of all, I seen full consideration. He saw them. Or he took notice of them. May I say it this way? They were the only thing that mattered to him. I don't even think y'all got that. You're a child of God. And he knows where you're at in life right now. And it ought to give you some thrill up your spine right now that he's taking notice of you and he's fully considering you and he's looking at you and he knows your hurt. He knows your pain. He knows where you're at. He knows if you're lost. He knows if you're saved. He's got full consideration. He knows if you've been into the doctor's office this week. He knows if your health's bad. He knows if you're having a family problem. He knows if your marriage is upside down. He knows all about you. And to think that he would consider so on somebody that is dust, that is filth, that is no good, that he would look at me, even consider me, makes me want to shout this morning. Now listen to this. This is awesome here. This will kill the Calvinists, but I can't help it. Did y'all hear that? I'm getting ready to shoot down a bunch of Calvinists. He said, go show thyselves or yourselves unto the priest. Now here, hold a minute. He ain't like some of you. You got to see it now. I call this a faith check. You believe I can do it? Take off. You know what God's looking for you, sinner? A faith check. Now, I know what the Calvinists say. Well, you can't have faith until you're born again. Well, take that up with Jesus. Amen. They had to have a faith check. You know, every once in a while in our journey, boy, this is tough. We got to have a faith check. By the way, you're going to go through something in your life that is terrible, that you can't understand, that is horrible, that will turn your life upside down. But I want you to know something. It's in those times, and I don't understand it all, but I know this, that God wants us to have a faith check. And you know what's keeping you out of hell this morning? Is because one day you place faith in Christ. You know why you're not going to heaven right now? You've never really trusted Christ. You need a faith check. It's not a baptism check. It's not a church membership check. It's not turning over a new leaf check. No, have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Am I trusting Him now since I've been saved? We need a faith check. I'm hurrying. Whew. Then I see 14. see, I call it, a favorable cure. Somebody, how many's there? It says that as they went, they were cleansed. Woo! They stepped out by faith. They packed their boxes. They packed and headed out. And as they, by the way, I believe them. Now, some of the people are going to really kill me on this. It's not your prayer that saved you. Amen. Though you do have to ask. It's your faith in that prayer. Is it good? I want to, and he cleansed them all. See, faith moves the hand of God. Faith turns the hand of God. Faith is where it's at. Then let me hasten. Look at verse 15. I'm still going down the passage. Are y'all with me? And one of them. Well, how about all 10 of them? Wasn't they all cleansed? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And you Baptists ain't gonna like this. And with a loud voice, glorified God. I see number 4, an activated praise. See, praise is not worship. But if you ever enter into worship, you'll enter into praise. Somebody help me praise. I wonder how many families in this room ought to be around the altar and just praise God this morning. Somebody help me. Wasn't they 10? But only one. When he saw that he was healed, I'm closing. He had a clear perception. He looked at him. He knew something happened. Because those sores wasn't running anymore. They dried up. Lost, it wasn't but 2 or 3 stents and they dried up. I'm glad the moment I got saved, I got healed. Amen. They dried up. Well, I think I'm preaching good this morning. I hope I am. Amen. Then I seen a consuming passion. I wonder what's happened to our passion. They turned back. Now, he turned back and with a loud voice, praise God. Then I see a compelling posture in verse 16. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. I tell you, there's sometimes, how many believe this? We ought to just get down on our face and praise him for what he's done for us. Because he's worthy of every bit of it. Somebody say amen. He's been good to everybody in this room. There's not one person he hasn't been good to. And every one of us does. We need to praise him and fall on our face. Well, glory. I got to give you this too. I told you I'm going to run to a couple minutes over. Y'all be all right. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I see a curious paradox. He was a Samaritan. He was somebody that wasn't supposed to be spoken to by a Jew. A Jewish man would never speak to a Samaritan. I don't know if it's going to work or not. A Jewish man would never speak to a Samaritan because they were outcasts. I'm thankful on January 31st, 1973. You know your date? He came to this outcast. He came to me. Where you at, Roger? He came to me. Shouldn't even speak to me. didn't even acknowledge me. I was filthy. I was terrible. I was an outcast.
Amen.
But he knocked down the wall partition and called me in.
Amen.
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 Are y'all with me? I'm wound in third. I believe on Thanksgiving weekend we can give it a little bit more here. Whoo! I'm supposed not to do that kind of stuff. Look at 17, 18, and 19. This, if you're hearing God in shouting you, it's going to come out even if it's a mumble. I see the authoritative proclamation. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered him, said, "Well, they're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this Samaritan." And look at the special commendation. And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith." There it is again. There it is again, Dave. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen.
And then this last thing. Now all y'all do know, he already got healed. But look at the rest of it. And thy faith hath made thee whole. I see a spiritual conversion. I think he'd done more than a physical help for him. He'd done a spiritual conversion.
Amen.
If you're here today and you've been tussling with this thing of your salvation, here's what'll get you whole. Not because you've been a good person.
Right.
And there's some people here lost that's good people. It's because your faith in him is what saved you. Somebody help me preach. Now, I heard this in a commentary, and I really don't. I don't know if I believe it or don't believe it, but it was interesting. And the guy may be clear crazy. But I'll give you this, and this, Dale, this is extra biblical, okay? Don't criticize me. Extra biblical. Somebody said this. I don't know. I don't. But y'all do know when a leper gets leprosy, it maims his body. Causes holes in his eyes, fingers. I read one commentary and I really don't know if the guy's right or not. It makes good preaching, makes good shouting anyway. He said, "You know, the rest of them were cleansed, but God took all his blemishes away." I don't, extra biblical, okay? Don't go out here and say I said something. But I will tell you this. When he saved me,
amen. Yes, sir.
He took all the blemishes
amen.
Away.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He blotted out my sin.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And now when he looks down on me, he doesn't see my righteousness. He doesn't see my past. He doesn't see my skeletons. He sees a whole, cleansed, righteous man justified before God. I'm done. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Christian? Is there anything in you that maybe you hadn't been quite as thankful as you ought to, and this morning be a good time for you to head up this way? How many right now say, "Preacher Smith, if I die today, I know I'm going to heaven"? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Thank you. There's Christians coming right now. People, how many's here not saved? Or not sure you're saved? And say, "Preacher, you mean it just takes me trusting Christ?" Yes. It's not some church membership you got. It's trusting Christ. How many here never really ever trusted Christ, but you know you need to be saved? Raise your hand and say, pray for me. Just raise them high. Raise them high. God bless that hand. Anybody else? I want you to stand. There's many people already coming. They're praying. You ought to come. Maybe bring your family and huddle around here. Give God thanks. Father, thank you for this service today. Lord, touch this and touch our little special thing we're doing for Thanksgiving in a moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you coming?